Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Walcha, and today we're going to be studying the final chapter in the Book of Mishlei, Perek Lamed Aleph, Chapter 31. And in the first pasuk of this chapter, we're introduced to yet another name of Shlomo HaMelech, Lemuel, which is a contraction of Lomoi Kel, he is for Hashem. In total, he had six names, Shlomo, Yedidya, Koheles, Ben Yoke, which we saw in the previous Perek, Agor, which we saw in the previous Perek, and Lemuel. Pasuk Aleph, Divrei Lemuel Melech, Masa Asher Yisrato Imoi, the words of Lemuel the king, which are the prophecy with which his mother admonished him. The first two psukim in this perek are a rebuke from his mother Bat-Sheva. Chazal say that Shlomo HaMelech married the daughter of Paro on the same day of the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, on the day of the Chanukah's Habayis. And there was a big wedding party, and his new wife bore all kinds of musical instruments, and he was awake all night, and then he overslept the next morning. And he was still sleeping until 4 hours after dawn, and it was time to bring the daily sacrifices. But the keys for the Beis HaMikdash were under his pillow, and the sacrifices were delayed. And his mother Bat-Sheva came in, and she rebuked him harshly for this. And the psukim that follow are her rebuke. Ma bri u'ma bar bitni u'me bar nadoroi. What my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows? Meaning everyone knows that your father, David HaMelech, is a tzaddik. If you mess up, they're going to blame it on me. They're going to say it's because of me. You're going to say that it's because you must be my son. And then in the psukim that follow, Bat-Sheva warns him about giving in to the temptations of alcohol and of women. Titein lanashim cheilecho udrochecho lamchois melochin. Do not give all your strength to women. Do not give your ways to that which destroys the strength of kings. Al lemelochim lemoel. Al lemelochim shiso yoyin ulroiznim e shechar. It's not for kings lemoel to drink wine excessively, nor is it for princes to say, where is strong drink? The Rambam quotes this pasuk in Hilchos Melochim, and he says it's forbidden for a king to get drunk, because he needs to be present, and he needs to be with it at all times that he can properly engage with the needs of his people. He can't dedicate too much of his energy to women, because his energy belongs to the people. He can't lose his capacity for responsible leadership. Pen yishte v'yishkach mechukok v'yishane din kol b'nei oimi. Lest he drink and forget that which was legislated and pervert the judgment of the poor and afflicted. When a person's inebriated, their judgment suffers, their accuracy suffers. The role of a king is to be a judge in society, and even if you intend to judge fairly and justly in court, you can't maintain the level of clarity that's required for a judge if you're drunk. You'll make mistakes. You'll forget what the precise law is. And v'yishane din kol b'nei oini, the people who will suffer most from your mistakes will be the people on the margins of society. Tznu shechar le'oved v'yayin le'mare nafesh, yishtev yishkach rishoy v'amaloi lo yizkar oid. Rather, she says, leave the wine for people who are desolate. Use wine to cheer up embittered and desolate souls. But alcohol is not appropriate for people who have responsible positions, people who are relied upon, like the king who needs to judge people. Psach picha le'ilein. The role of a king is rather to open your mouth for the mute. You need to be a voice for the mute. Whether this means for someone who's literally mute and can't speak, or it's someone who can't express himself properly and he can't represent himself in court. A righteous judge needs to be a voice for people who struggle to plead their case themselves. Din kol bnei chaloif, and he has to act for the judgment of all the fragile, people who don't have security and stability, people who are at a disadvantage in court, people who might not be as well prepared for court as their more powerful opponents. So the job of the king is to notice these dynamics and to try and redress the balance so that the weaker side is properly supported and is properly represented. Psach picha shvat tzedek v'din oni ve'evyon. Open your mouth, rule justly, and judge the poor and indigent. The king or a judge has a massive responsibility, so he has to abstain from the physical pleasures of ordinary people. He can't indulge in wine or in women, because he needs to function at full capacity at all times. He needs to retain his strength. He needs to retain his clarity of mind always. So this was the Musar of Bat-Sheva to Shlomo HaMelech when he overslept. You have a responsibility to others in your role as a king, and your life revolves around those responsibilities. It can't be centered on yourself. And again, as we've mentioned before, this is the Jewish approach to leadership. The Gemara in the end of Maseches HaReis tells the story of Rabban Gamliel. He tried to appoint two of his Talmidim to a leadership position, and they refused. They refused the leadership position because they were too humble. They didn't want all the pomp and the glory that comes together with the status. So Rabbi Gamliel sent them back a message. He said, you've completely misunderstood. You think I'm offering you glory? You think I'm offering you nobility? I'm offering you servitude. Leadership isn't about privilege. It's a life of servitude. That's what it means to lead. It means to be a servant. It means to have to think about other people all the time instead of thinking about yourself. It means to put other people's needs before your own all of the time. Medrash Tanchuma brings the story of Shlomo HaMelech sleeping in and his mother coming to wake him when it was time to bring the karbanos and her berating him and all these psukim that we just read. And it concludes that Olafi sheyisartu lefichach veyachkam mikol ha'adam. Because of her Musa, he became the wisest of all men. Her wisdom, Batsheva's wisdom, enabled him to become the wisest man who ever lived. And that takes us back full circle to a pasuk that we read in the very first parak of Mishlei. Shma b'ni Musa rovicha v'al titosh toiras imecha. Listen, my son, to the rebuke of your father, and don't throw away the teachings of your mother. And that was a reference to his own mother, to Batsheva. To everything his mother taught him, that's what made him into what he became. She was at the core and at the heart of everything. Now the rest of the parak follows with a famous poem of Eshes Chayil, which is a tribute to Shlomo HaMelech's mother. And that's quite a significant point. The entire book of Mishlei, the book of wisdom, it concludes with a tribute to Batsheva, to Shlomo HaMelech's mother. Eshes Chayil miyimsa, v'rochek mipninim michra. A woman of valor who can find, and far beyond pearls is her value. She's rarer and more valuable than precious stones. Now, there are a lot of different ways of interpreting these psukim in Eshes Chayil and what this is all about, besides for the simple interpretation that this is a tribute to Batsheva. But for today, we're going to learn how the Medrash in Mishlei links these psukim to different righteous women in Tanakh. And we'll look at some of these psukim specifically and see how they're references to certain women in Tanakh. The poem's written in alphabetical order. There's one pasuk for each letter in the Aleph base. And we'll start with the pasuk for letter Ches. Chagra v'oiz masneha v'ata meit zroiseha. She girds her loins with might and she strengthens her arms. The Medrash says that this is referring to Miriam. After Pari's terrible decree to throw all the baby boys in the Nile, her father Amram separated from his wife Yocheved. He said, how can you bring children into the world to be thrown into the Nile? And because he was the leader of the generation, all the other couples followed his example and they also all got divorced. But Miriam, who was only a child at that time, she rebuked her father. And she said, what you're doing is worse than Pari. Pari only decreed that the baby boys be killed. Your divorcing my mother means there won't be any baby boys or baby girls. Pari's decree means that the baby boys won't have a life in this world. But what you're doing is denying them also a life in the next world. And she prophesied at this point, she said, my mother is destined to have a child that's going to be the savior of the Jewish people. And Amram listened to her words. And he reunited with Yocheved, and Moshe was born. But we all know the continuation of the story, and Moshe is eventually found, and he's also thrown into the Nile along with the rest of the baby boys. And Amram berates Miriam. The Medrash says that he tapped her on her head. He said, where's your Nebuah now? Where's your prophecy? Explain to me, how is this child going to save the Jewish people when he's thrown into the river Nile? But Chagra v'oiz masneha. She girded herself with strength. She stood steadfast and strong in her Nebuah, and she went and watched to see what will happen to Moshe in the Nile. She had no doubt he was going to be okay. She had no doubt the prophecy was going to come true. She was interested to see how it would happen. Miriam was renowned for her strength, for her faith, for Chagra b'oiz masneha. Let's look at another pasuk. Tama ki tov sachra lo yichbe balayla neira. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. And this refers to Chana, says the Medrash. Toama ki tov sachra, she tasted the goodness of tefillah. Chana is known for introducing us to silent tefillah. And the reward of her sincere and her genuine tefillah was that she merited to have a child, Shmuel, who was equivalent to Moshe and Aaron, says the Pasuk in Tehillim, who light up the world like Neros, like a lamp, lo yichbe balayla Nero, a lamp that is never extinguished even at night. And this was all in the zchus of Chana's sincere tefillah. Another pasuk, Yodea shilcho bakishar v'chapea tom chufalach. This, says the Medrash, is referring to Ya'el, who killed Sisera in the book of Shoftim in the days of Devarah HaNeviah. Sisera was the enemy general against the Jewish people. And Ya'el lured him into her tent, and she put him to sleep, and then she killed him with a peg of her tent. And she saved the Jewish people from the murderous Sisera that way. She was the war heroine. Yodel Shilchava Kishar Vechapea Tom Chufalech means she extends her hands to the distaff and her palms support the spindle. And these are both spinning instruments. Says the Medrash, this is a reference to the fact that Yael killed Sisera with the tent of her peg instead of with a conventional weapon. When he came into her tent, and she recognized the opportunity to kill him and to save the Jewish people, she realized that she was actually in a very compromised position. A woman is a giver of life. A woman who is a giver of life should not be a killer. How can she be a murderer? And yet, the Jewish people needed her here. They depended on her. And whilst this might be a very unconventional or an unnatural job for a woman, it was her calling. It's what she needed to do. So she did what she needed to do. But she did it in a way that reminded herself of who she is. That reminded her that she's a nurturer, not a killer. And that's why she didn't use a weapon, but she killed him with the tent of a peg instead. And this is a tribute to her in Eish Yisrael, to the complexity that she had to navigate in her role. And she's a role model for all of us that have to work hard to preserve our femininity in roles that sometimes challenge that, to fulfill important and critical callings that sometimes can challenge our natural femininity. Another pasuk, Loisira levesa mishale ki cholbesa lavushanim. She does not fear snow for her household, as her entire household is clothed in scarlet wool. This one, says the Medrash, refers to Rachav. Rachav was a famous prostitute in the days of Yehoshua, and she lived in the city of Yericho. And when Yehoshua sent spies to Yericho to find out more about what the people were feeling and thinking about at the time, of, you know, how they felt about the Jewish people coming to conquer the land, so she took the spies into her house, and she protected them, and she saved their lives at the risk of her own life. And at the same time, she also turned around her own personal life. She turned around her life from a life of sin, and she became a great and holy woman, and she eventually married Yehoshua himself. But before the spies left her home, when she was saving them, she asked them to please spare my life. When you conquer the city of Yericho, please don't kill me as a gesture of appreciation for having helped you out. So they told her that you should mark your home with a scarlet thread, and that will identify your home so that you could be saved. Loisira levesa mishalek kicholbesa lavushanim. She isn't afraid. She isn't afraid of the Jewish people's attack on Yericho because her home is clothed in scarlet. Because her house is covered in scarlet thread, so she has nothing to fear when the Jews attack Yericho. But on a deeper level, I read in Rabbi Holly Pavlov's book, Water from the Well, that she isn't afraid because she believes in the power of Teshuvah. She believes that her own personal scarlet thread will turn white as a sign of her teshuvah being accepted. It's like the red string in the Beis HaMikdash that turns white on Yom Kippur every year as a sign that the Jewish people were forgiven. She turns her life around from decades of prostitution and she becomes a savior of the Jewish people and a holy woman, and she believes in this power of teshuvah. She believes that scarlet can become white. And now let's look at one final pasuk as another example. She opens her mouth with words of wisdom, and the Torah of kindness is on her tongue. The Medrash says that this refers to the unnamed wise woman in the days of David HaMelech in Shmuel Beis. So at that time, Sheva ben Bichri led a rebellion against David HaMelech, and that's an offense that's punishable by death. So David's generals went to find him and to kill him, and Sheva ben Bichri took refuge in a city called Eval Beis Macha. So David's generals went and besieged the city, and their intention was to wage war against the city so that they could get him, and that would have resulted, obviously, in a huge amount of destruction and a lot of casualties. But there was a wise woman living in that city, and we're not told her name, and she came and spoke to David's general Yoav, and she calmed him down with her wise words, and she completely diffused the tension, and she arranged that the rebel, Sheva ben Bichri, he should be killed, and he should be delivered to Yoav instead of there being a war in the entire city. And this way she saved the whole city. She saved the whole city from war and destruction and casualties. She did all of this with her wise words. She's not identified in the text of the Navi, but the Medrash here says that this woman was Serach bas Asher, the grandchild of Yaakov Avinu. She was the one who broke the news to Yaakov that Yosef was still alive. And she also did that with her wise and her kind speech. She did that in a very clever way, so she shouldn't give him too much of a fright. It would have been an enormous shock for him to find out that Yosef was still alive after all these years. And as a reward for that, she was blessed with incredible longevity, and she's still alive here in the days of David HaMelech. Pia pascha b'chachma v'saris chesed al hashayna. She opens her mouth with words of wisdom. She speaks kindly and gently. Tores chesed al lashona, the Torah of kindness is on her tongue. Both in the role that she plays in the days of Yaakov Avinu and in the role that she plays in the days of David HaMelech. So to summarize this entire parak is a tribute to the spiritual and the moral strength of the woman. We started with the wisdom of Bathsheba, Shlomo HaMelech's mother, who forced him to take responsibility as a king, and she's credited with being that force behind him that resulted him in becoming the wisest woman to ever live. And then the parak continued with the Eish Yisrael poem, the tribute to the woman of valor, which is a tribute to Bathsheba, and it's also a tribute to many other women in Tanakh who exemplify the qualities of tefillah and teshuvah and emunah and courage and wisdom and diplomacy, amongst many, many other qualities that we didn't get to. And now, chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. May our Torah learning be strengthened, and may we merit to learn many more Sfarim and lots more Torah together. I'd like to take this opportunity to express my deep gratitude to our sponsors Nina and Chaim Schenker for enabling this learning to take place. And I'd also like to thank you all for learning together in the merit for a refuah shlema for your Nina Simmerbass Daphne Hinder and all the wounded members of Tzahal amongst all the ill of Klal Yisrael.